eat the next day from the fight. They're bigger. So their punches and their thing, even though he's at 155, he might be like 180 on fight day.
On fight day.
And his punches are more harder.
Damn. So that's purposely done. Mm-hmm. Cutting the weight so you can qualify. But then when you go to fight,
they don't weigh you before.
Then they'll tell you that. Yeah, that's why they be all so skinny, looking like Smeagol, you know? So when they look like Smeagol, you see them like, right? But the next day, they're like yoked, you know? They're like strong. So when you fight, like for me at 135, I had that 165 power still.
Exactly.
So if you watch fighters like UFC fighter Shane O'Malley, he's tall, right? He's like 6 feet. His real weight is like, he walks around probably like 160, 170.
Okay.
Yes. So when he goes in 135, he's running through people. Because one
punch. Power.
That's all it is. It's a little hustle bully. It's a bully game.
Yeah.
You got to bully.
Definitely, yeah. So I guess the only place it really doesn't matter is heavyweights. The heavyweights, there's no.
Nah, you just got to watch them kill each other.
Yeah.
You're like, dude.
No, we're going to go ahead and back up into the story.
We will. I just, that shit is interesting. Yeah, just to know how they play.
The greatest engineer in the world was already recording. So we got that.
Yeah.
Okay. We got parts of it, so we'll rewind. But everyone, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Broad Bell Speaks.
Yes.
Today, we have Mr. Anthony, an MMA fighter. And he's going to tell us about his journey. But before that, we're going to let you go ahead and
jump
us
in. Yep. Okay. As always, we are in Flux Studios. And our engineer of the last 2 decades, almost three.
It's going on three.
Internationally known, Kurt is in the building. Our famous moron is in the building. As he says.
He's making all of this happen, guys.
He is. He's back there on the board making it all happen.
Yeah.
So and editing, cameras, cutting, doing it all. Yeah.
Everything you see.
We're still working on putting that camera on him.
Well, we have the camera. We just haven't turned it on. The cap on top of it.
So, but we're gonna get there.
We will.
So let's jump in. So Anthony.
Yes, sir.
All right. Anthony, Ant, is it or is
you got any it preference? Don't matter. Okay. Tony, whatever you feel like. So anything.
Right. So let's jump right into with your MMA fighting, but let's jump into how it started.
It started when I was, I say, 12.
Okay.
And I went to a Taekwondo. Well, first, I fought a bully. He demolished me. He was bigger than me, and he demolished me. I feel like I was like, I have to get this back. So what I did was I told my mom, I want to go learn karate. You know, I was in Taekwondo. And the thing about it was, like, I was doing it so much, I didn't even want to fight the bully no more. Like, it humbled me because I had people, you know, train me, like, don't do this out of sight. If you do, we're gonna kick you out, etc. So in San Bernardino and Cali, I was mostly like just that was just my thing, you know. Fighting was really my in and out to like, oh, I found something I'm really, really passionate about, I'm good at. So that's what I started. Then I saw UFC and everything, and I was like, okay, I want to do that one day. But I was young, it was expensive, you know, California's expensive.
Yeah.
So my mom could really afford it. So I was just trying to, you know, I was at school selling candy and stuff, trying to, you know, try to make a thing to afford it. And my mom, well, she tried, you know, she was a single mother with my nana, and, you know, they took care of me, my brother and sister. And in San Bernardino, I was mostly the one that was always trying to figure out the way to how I could get my family out. And because when I was doing Taekwondo, I went to other places, the whole, like, everyone that I was around was like better than me. Like, I was getting slanged everywhere, like, and the part about it was like,
that's the beginning.
Yeah, like, I was getting toe up, you know, everybody was like ooh, and I was just like, dang, like, I gotta really learn how to do battle, right? Yeah. Really learn how to really go in it. So then I was waiting for my uncle's friend. He has his own MMA gym, and he put me in there, and I was sparring, and I got toe up again. And then he told me, this is what you need to do. You need to do this. You need to learn how to do Muay Thai. You need to learn how to box. You need to learn how to do anything that has physical contact on your body. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So when I started doing, I started adapting before I came out here to North Carolina. Okay. And that's when everything takes off in North Carolina.
Okay. So just,
I was going to ask him, what age was he when he came out?
Oh, I was Carolina. 20 going on 21.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So those early stages, and I love, so we're always trying to get into the journey, because everyone looks at you now and they see how established you are. They see, you know, how well you perform when you go out there. But that journey, like you said, starting at 12, going into you know, in there to fight and, like you said, getting tossed around and everything. Was there any moments or any at any point where you said, this is just not for me?
Nah, it was mostly like, you keep going. But I got so obsessed with it. Like, I started putting it in front of everything in my life.
Yeah.
Where, like, I'm at work. I had to choose certain jobs that goes with my schedule for the gym, you know. Like, and then certain jobs that would let me go fight that I'm passionate about, you know. And I realized that fighting careers like that, it's like you got a big gap to make it to where Conor and, you know, all the ones in UFC. Because you got the whole world trying to make it to that one promotion. So you got to be different, you got to stand out. So I'm very creative with my striking, because when I got into kickboxing, it was a wrap. Muay Thai, rap, you know. And that's why I was like, okay, everybody's about to catch these hands at 135. You know, I was ready to test it.
Yeah.
So in amateur, I was knocking people, and I had people, they want to fight me after that. So when I was doing that, then the team started separating, because I was in a good amateur team in North Carolina. We was rock bottom. So we was going to Virginia, North Carolina, and sometimes outside of South Carolina, and we was just wrecking people. And that's when I met me, Shaq, Tom and Roe, and everybody. Yes. And we had the whole squad from the beginning. And that's when we all went different paths, different ways. See, my path was like life, like bills, you know, like everything. So I couldn't afford stuff at the gym where I get like kind of, you know, frustrated, where you're not progressing with your career, you know. So while I wasn't progressing with my career, I kind of got, you know, hurt. Like, you know, I started getting frustrated, I started getting angry, I started, you know, I couldn't really do nothing. So that's when I was like, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to set myself up to get back in there so people, you know, can know who I am.
Yeah.
And then when MMA was like going ups and downs, because I got to learn wrestling and jiu-jitsu, I didn't have that, you know. I wasn't really too fond of jiu-jitsu and grappling. So what I did was I went to kickboxing Muay Thai, and that's when I started exceeding my fighting career.
Okay.
Went back to MMA, learned some more grappling techniques, but now it's like automatic. I know what to do, roll out. So when I started going back, it was easier. So that's when I made my professional debut. I took too long.
Before you get to the professional debut, I feel like I'm missing a piece, because I know you came to North Carolina and you said 21. But what brought you to North Carolina? Out of all places, how did you enter here?
And coming from California.
Right.
I said it was cheaper, you know, cheaper to live. Definitely. And then we had
So you're looking to relocate.
Yeah.
So you're looking on a map and like, okay, where am I going to go? And you just chose somewhere to go.
It's mostly my whole family. My whole family just was like, let's go to North Carolina and stuff. So I was like, you know, and we have a little bit of family out here.
So there was some familiarity with me.
Yeah, well, someone got hurt, though. My cousin, his name is Richard, he got burnt from a telephone call. And the telephone pole burned him, and we came out here, we were supposed to help, but we ended up staying. So that's when I was automatically like, okay, what I'm going to need to do and everything else. I went to Lindley Center. That was the first place I went by. I met Todd, Meshack, J-Bill, the whole squad.
Yeah.
And that's when it all started right there.
What year was that?
I think it was 2014 or 13, around there.
Okay.
Because Meshack was still, you know, Meshack still had his, he had a shortcut. He had the waves. So, you know, Todd was still, you know, hair. Like, yeah, Todd had a little bit of hair and stuff. So, yeah, it was, oh my God, man. That's a journey. Yeah,
2013. Okay. Yes. Okay. So now we're back at the professional.
Because I love the thing about being a professional is like, you got to know when to go. Okay. You know, I took too long. I could have been farther, but it's okay. You know, it's never too late. But, you know, I kind of put a lot of damage on my body. So when I did the professional, it was last minute. I took the fight in a week. The guy was already set. The guy dropped out. And I was like, okay, let's get ready for war. Got x-rayed, everything. We were good. And then I seen the dude. I was taller, but that man was yoked. I'm talking about, like I said, Hercules. He was huge. And I'm like, man, what the hell you come from? And they said, yeah, he's fighting at 155. I was like, you know.
That man ain't at 155.
Yeah, no, man. He's walking, like, you know, running, bumping the door and stuff. I was like, okay. But I looked at him, man. We did face-to-face. I see his eyes moving. So I know he was a little bit scared, because, you know, there wasn't that much information about me. But they know I was a striker.
Right.
So he was moving his eyes like this, you know. I was like, but I was looking dead at him. I was like, yo, I'm about to knock you out. Like, I'm going to dislocate your taste buds tonight.
Okay.
I was ready. Like, it was that mindset, you know, and it felt good to come back. But I should have been smarter about my career choices, you know. So right when me and this dude, we was just locking eyes and stuff, really about to go at it, you know, we went to the back, I was warming up, and right there my shoulder popped, boom, and I was like, what is that? And then we looked at it, it popped out of place. I was like, no, not right now.
So not we, right before the
yeah,
fight.
I was mad. I was so mad, but we put it back. And then they were like, yo, let's cancel the fight. And I was like, no, Pedro, forget that. I want to go get this dude. You know, I've been working hard for this debut. You know, I got him because he was already up there. He was 3-0. And I was just making my debut.
Right.
So I should have fought somebody that was 0-0 with me instead of somebody that was already
that
in the
was
game.
Already thing that, yeah, they had someone established. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was favoritism too because he had ticket sales. Mm-hmm. He had everything. So you already know he was the fan favorite and everything else.
But honestly, that looks good for you in that situation as well because all the attention he's getting. And now you're in the ring with us. So, so not to cut you off, but I'm just thinking about that. Like, I understand as far as how you're looking at it too. Like, I'm sure people wanting to take steps and say, well, let's try 0-0. But then you're looking at someone who's already 3-0 and he has a fan base that he can bring to it that gives you exposure as well.
Yeah, so. Man, he had a whole fan. Like, it felt like a whole, it was like, you know, you be in a stadium and then when artists come out, everybody cheers for it. That was that atmosphere, you know.
Wow.
It felt like a Creed versus Drago type of thing. And then when this fool came out, you know, he had the whole everything, professional everything, and I'm sitting over there, it's like, I just gotta catch this fool one time, he's going to sleep. And then next thing you know comes, we going, boom, the bell ring, and automatically he's hyped, so he's coming aggressively at me. So I did a two-touch taekwondo kick, just put my leg up there, spinning back. He went back like, oh, okay, this dude knows something,
right?
And he said, if I'm not careful, he's gonna get knocked out. He knows, I can see in his face, just that quick second. And then the crowd just was quiet. You can literally hear like somebody sipping wine, like
they like
it was like
this dude over here is for real.
And then like that was like, because when there's a fight card, I like to stand out, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like to,
you said a fight
like a fight card where you have all these fighters on one card, and everybody performs, you get performance of the night, KO of the night, you know, all everything. So I like to be different. I like to have a different style. I like to put my swag. I like to really show everybody, like, yo, this is the arts I know. This is how good I'm going to perform, but I'm also going to come out with, you know. So the dude was, he was basic, but he was good. You know, came out, hands up, coming forward. So I'm looking at this guy like, okay, you know, I throw a kick, boom, and automatically his eyes kept, you know, getting big. He said, if I get catch
with attention.
So he was more calm and I was calm throwing feints, but my shoulder, I couldn't really hit the jab. The jab was right there too. His nose was open, man. It was like a target button, you know, like a dot where you're throwing the dot. It was there. And I was like, oh, I can't do it. So anytime I'm trying to, you know, I was like, I can't do it. He's right there. So I'm over here throwing feints at this fool and he was just coming closer. Like, I was like, okay, I got to do something. So anytime I throw a kick, he counter it. I was like, oh, man. So I had to think defensive. So when I was on a cage, he got me in a cage. That's when he went, threw a little fake punches, took me down. And I'm over there, got him in the rear naked, deep, probably the deepest chokehold I ever had anybody. And I had him where I tried to suffocate him so he can't breathe and tap. He tapped real quick, but the ref was on the other side. So he didn't see it.
Damn.
I was like, no. Then my shoulder popped out and I felt his head coming through. So I was like, I'm in a bad position. You know, I'm over here on the side of the cage. You know, my
fans
are
holding out. You couldn't hold him.
So he put me on a place where I couldn't really move. My shoulder pushed him off, and the dude was heavy, man. He came probably back 155. He was like at least 190, 185. Right. And I was probably like one, I'll say 60 or something.
Yeah.
So when me and was going at it, right, he put me on the ground, and that's why I looked at him. I looked at God himself. I was just like, I'm about to get my head. I'm about to get my taste buds dislocated. You know, like, he about to end my whole career. Like, so he started wailing, boom, boom, throwing elbows, and I'm over here blocking. And I'm looking at the ref like, I don't think I can move, you know, bow. Like, oh, you know, and the crowd was quiet, but then they start cheering on, you know, because he got me now. And then when the whiff stopped it, you know, he got it. But when I got up, I was like, man, I was like, dang, man, I was so pissed.
So pissed.
I had
for the shoulder.
And it made it worse. I had my fiance there too to watch me get this L. So you know, my even my two kids, you know, they're probably like, dang,
daddy.
Point at me like, yeah, like, you know. So it's like that moment, I was like, dang. And this is the hardest thing that really got to me, was like, ever since that fight, I trained even harder. But I had another fight that was supposed to come up. But the bad thing was about it, I got injured my leg. I got nerve damage. Went to the doctor to get checked out. They said you probably won't be able to fight. So now that's what put me back to really think about other careers, what I'm going to in the field. And it hurted me. I was depressed. I was sitting in the room working, but, you know, trying to figure out what to do. And it hurted because I have nerve damage because my kicks is really my strengths. Okay. And like, you know, so for kickboxing, after I put so much years, like 13, 12 years into this game, I finally got hurt. Where I tell everybody, if you have a chance to do it, you got to think about it. It's 1,000 to 1 chance you're going to be up there with the rest. But you don't want to be in there too long where you get out and it's too late to do other careers.
Right.
Have a plan B. Because,
right.
man, we're putting our bodies through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a dangerous sport. I know how it feels to be in a bad contract. I know how it feels to be set up. I know how it feels to, you know, if you don't miss weight and how, you know, mentally. So be experiencing that field that a lot of people don't know or been through, and then be in the crowd, because the crowd does get you hyped when you hit somebody. Oh, it's like, yeah, I got you. But just coming out to that, you know, it's a sad thing, but it's okay. I kind of really look back at it like, you know, I won't change it for the world.
Now, when you talk about that time period, because I know you said you stayed amateur a little longer than what you felt like you should have. Is there a good time to go from amateur to pro, when you think about age and where your body is at?
I feel like a lot of men's peak over is probably like 24, 25.
Okay.
Because when they're like MMA, you can't really compete in MMA, I guess, over till you're like 18 to 20, you know? So for me, I look at it as like, if you doing amateur, you give yourself 4 years. 4 years of hard work, or just focus. Nothing else, just focus on that. And if you're dominating everybody, then you should do pro. Yeah, don't wait until, you know, like me, like going to around 20 all the way up to 30, which I am now, and do it late, where like your body is not, you know, you can't really cut the weight that you can no more. Your body's not the same, because you getting kicked, elbow, punch, all of that constantly, over and over and over, and you're doing nonstop. Because some fighters take breaks, you know, they take breaks. I said, damn, a break, like, because I was so hungry, but that kind of, you know, but it caught up to me.
When you said earlier the plan B, what was your plan B?
I had another thing, like I have been in like acting roles too.
Okay.
You know, like plays. Yeah. And I did some fight card when I was younger, because I used to always like the Bruce Lees, Michael J. White and all of them.
Yeah.
And I used to always do that. But to me, it didn't really feel as much as fighting, you know, because I feel like fighting was more. But I always had like the acting, because my mom got me into acting, because my mom loved to act too. But she really was like sacrificing her dream for us to go to the next level. So I always promised her, you know, like, because I really haven't told her that you're the one that got me into acting, but I wanted to show her that field that I'm also going to pursue too as a backup plan. So when I do fighting scenes now, like choreography, it feels more real to the people to connect with.
I bet.
Yeah, because now I'm like, I know how a punch feels, I know this, I know how, you know. So I add that to it now, which that's how I met Sequence and Fatima, when we start talking about that.
And just to jump in, to me, I think the best choreographers for fighting and those who act in fighting scenes are those who actually did the fighting. And I say that too. I remember watching an interview that Steven Seagal did, and he would always talk mad trash about Van Damme, because he was a dancer. He didn't fight. Steven Seagal is a true fighter.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Okay, yeah. So Van Damme is not a fighter. That's he could do splits and all that other stuff because he was a dancer.
Okay.
And Steven Seagal never hesitated to say, what I do is real. You come up to me on the street, you gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
You go up to him, he gonna do a spin.
Their beef is real.
You look at the fact, and that's why too, where Van Damme didn't choreograph anything. Steven Seagal choreographed everything within his fight scenes and everything. You know, along with others, but he was, you know,
because a long time
it
was just them two, like in those actions.
It was, and I think that was why he was, you know, because of that. Because, like you said, like with Andy, if he's a fighter and you got me coming up, and I'm just because I'm flexible because I dance, you know,
and then he get the role, it's beef.
And if you wonder why Van Damme never said nothing to Steven.
Right, he ain't never said nothing.
He know.
I ain't get my ass kicked. But I do like that you have transitioned over to acting. And that's I was going to ask you where Fatima came in, because she was telling me that she had a new client. And so how did that happen?
Yeah, I seen her, you know, I seen her do it with Sequence. And I talked Sequence and he put me with Fatima because she was a martial artist and stuff too. So I was like, really? Okay. You know, I hit her up. I didn't know she was going to hit me back, but she did. She looked me up. She checked everything out. And she wanted to have a, you know, meeting. And we talked and everything and just clicked right away. I was like, cool. So now I'm just like, I'm getting a lot of things together where I'm putting a portfolio together for the future, what I want to do. Because I do one day want to open a gym where I have one side of a gym is just straight kickboxing, MMA and all that. Then the other side of the gym, you see the fight choreography. So I can learn how to put the two together where it could be a big old studio for everybody. And I want to, to be, you know, because not everybody, because I had fighters hit me up. It's like, man, if I was in fight choreography, I would have rather do a fight choreography than actual fighting and keep my brain still alive, you know, because it's just a lot. So like when I was like jumping into sports like boxing, kickboxing, MMA, I know like how it feels to use different styles in different arts. So when I do fight choreography, you might see me do boxing. You might see me do taekwondo. You might see me mix it all together. You might see me do other things. Well, I have other people, you know, sometimes you might not see me win. You're going to say sometimes I might get murdered. I might get brutally killed. Or, you know, I might win or I might do other things. But one thing about me, I'm a team player. If you look good and we go viral because you knocked me out, hey, cool. Sign this paper so I get all the money. You know, so.
Man, that's nice. And I'm just thinking about just everything you're talking about. Your circle, just thinking about who we know, and from Meshack to Sequence and Fatima, you know, Meshack has a gym, you know, Sequence has already been doing, you know, the choreography with shows. He's supposed to come, he did a show with us, and then he did it right before he was going to, was it Florida or
it
California?
Was Florida for a movie.
For a movie, and then when he came back, we just haven't been able to get our schedules aligned, but he's going to come back and go over his whole experience and everything. And that's something too, thinking about it, if you want to come too and sit in and, you know, he can talk about it, but you could be right there too and kind of just be a part of that discussion as well.
Oh yeah, I'll be honored. That'll be honored.
But now when you talk about the transition, just to take a step back, you had mentioned something I thought was really interesting. You talked about the contracts, the setups and all the things. How do you get, when you think about a young fighter, again, you've moved on to where you're stepping into the next part of your life. When you're talking to a young fighter who's just stepping in, what's that advice or what do they look for or kind of be aware of as they stepping into it to kind of ensure, it, not remove it, but minimize some of the things that, you know, you went through and friends of yours gone through when they first stepped in?
I'll say, you know, have a good team. Great coach. You know, your coach is like your father and uncle, big brother, all of that together. And they're the first ones to have your best interest in anybody, you know, so you have to have a good bond. And the great coach got to know your style so he could add more tools to the style instead of trying to change you, you know. And then like when you get these contracts, you know, for professional fights, any fights, there's a difference when they say, hey, we want to sign you. We're going to give you a 4-fight deal. Here's this right here. And we're going to help you build. Then, we got to fight for you. We give you this much money and this is who you fighting. Can you tell the difference? You know what I'm saying? Because if I'm putting money to somebody to give you a 4-fight contract, that means I'm signing you to my promotion. So we're going to build you. But if I'm just saying, hey, I got to fight for you, I'll give you $2,700, sign the contract, this is who you fighting.
Which but means they probably got a deal for that other person and they're bringing you in to try to hopefully help him look good. But if they sign you to a 4-fight deal, they like you said, they're promoting you, so they're looking to make you look good, so they're trying to find good matches, a good matchup.
No, did you have someone then when you was doing the contracts to go over your contracts and make sure?
No, I didn't.
So you learned from the mistakes.
That trial and error. But yes, that's the best way sometimes.
Because now you can help others.
I try to, you know.
That's good. And I heard you was talking about like getting a school together or a gym together and that whole world of that's business. So have you started taking your steps? Because I know the FM Consulting Group, they do that as well. So are you using that for management and to build your business? Or mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to build something. I have a name like Jet Productions because I had two nicknames, you know, for like MMA. I was the Last Dragon because I had like a Bruce Lee style. And then I had for kickboxing, boxing, everything, I had Tony Jet Jackson, where I was more fast, my speed, you know. Yeah. And I used to really focus on speed, not too much on power, but because I know the power is my legs. Uh-huh. So if I can really like really just touch you, wow, just real quick, like a glitch, you know, like a little, that's how fast, then automatically I can do anything I want with
you. Exactly, yeah.
So I learned this from being, you know, just in the game and knowing my fighting style, because like different gyms I went to, it was like for me to evolve my style that a lot of coaches cannot sometimes teach. Because you know yourself what's going to make you better, and everybody else is going to know your weakness, but you want to come like, you know, like cure that weakness. And you got to get uncomfortable. So
I like that.
Yeah. Okay. So I've been in a lot of uncomfortable situations, but it got me to the point where a lot of people want to spar with me and stuff and everything. Then they realize how good I was. They back off. You know what I'm saying? Especially like top level kickboxing. Shout out to Coach Lamont. When I go up to him in a sparring gym, he has new fighters come in. But if I don't go for a while, you know, they give me some good work. But if I start coming back and I get my mojo back, the whole time changes. They're like, hold up. Yeah, I was like, yeah, man. Like, put some respect to my name, dog. Like, you ain't going to be tearing me up.
That's what's up.
So it's just building it. And now I'm getting certain fighters to do fight choreographies where it's like, I'm going to make y'all shine. But, you know, it's gonna like, we're going to do steps. So I probably might do one tomorrow. It's going to be like a boxer versus kickboxer. But it's going to be more... You know what I'm saying? Epic. It's going to be more like, you know, I can't do the things I can in a real fight, but I can do it on here because it's more choreographed and everything else. But I'm still going to keep it realistic, though.
Okay.
To realistic to the part where everybody's like, for a boxer, because you really, you know, movies, you don't really see a boxer really go off.
Right.
You always see martial arts, taekwondo, and everything else, like stuff to go off. But you never see like a boxer, something that, you know, a lot of people can relate to in an actual street fight.
Right.
Because they always say boxing doesn't work, boxing is a point thing, but I'm about to flip the script on how I'm about to write the script. you know what I'm saying? Do. So, yeah. So,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Do you have someone that's guiding you while you're writing your screenplay?
Yeah. Well, I have a dude named Marquise. He's really good. Marquise is really cool. He does the camera and he does the angles to like sequence. I learned a lot from sequence because of the hand-to-hand combat that he does mixed with my style and the camera angles. So I'm like, okay, so I can learn from this to adapt what I'm about to put on the screen.
Yeah.
Because I got to get the sound effects, the everything, the gun sounds, the like the hits, slow motions. And then, you know, and I realized a lot of things that you do with yourself in your career, you have to invest in yourself. So I had to really set aside money where I'm taking care of my family, paying the bills and stuff like that, you know. But I also have to set money aside for myself to put more investments in my career. So
that's what's up. So when you talk about that, because that is so true, how is that balance for you with like you said, you have your family, but you still have this career that you're continuing to not just develop but move up into and make more into what you're looking to do with all of that. But like you said, you still have, you know, your kids, your fiance, you have all of this going on, which doesn't stop. How do you juggle and balance all of that?
Oh man, I make it fun for everybody.
Okay.
So if like me, my fiance, we do gymnastics now. So I'm learning how to put flips.
So she does it with you.
Yes, that's I'm learning how to do flips into my fighting choreography. So now you're gonna see me doing flips because I know what a lot of these movies they want. So I'm like, okay, let me get my gymnastics skills up there, parkour and stuff. And she does it too. Now my daughter and son, he likes to box. So I use him sometimes to do scenes and use the camera angles. I'm like, son, I want you to push me this way. And we're going to work on your hands. My daughter likes to kick. So if her kicking for taekwondo.
Both of them, that's what, I know you are excited about this.
I got him so to work with it so I don't make it. That's why, like, when I was fighting before, I put it, like, I was always away from home, not really spending time with my family. But I realized my family is like my biggest support. So if I bring them into my world, they'll be appreciated more, and I'll appreciate them, you know, coming around.
And what made you decide that?
I like that.
Oh man, it went
That's hard for someone to, well, to be aware of that's what you need to do and not feel like they're a burden, but to say, okay, I need to include them into my passion. And being the leader of the household instead of just being separate from the household. How did you come up with that mindset?
Communication. Just talk to him, you know.
It's communication. I love because we talk about that. That's it's one of those things where it's said so much, it's overlooked.
Yeah.
But it's that old. It is. Old rule. That
let's talk about it. What's missing? What's
so go ahead and jump in. And I didn't cut y'all. I just love that you said that because so many people don't do it. And I love the fact that you like just
communicate. I thought you were going to say, well, I was talking to my homeboy and he would do but communicate. Yeah.
And then you just got to know your significant other, you know? Like, I know what she likes. I know how she is. She's a Sagittarius, so you know she's going to let me know off gate. What she going to like. So I'm like, okay. I was like, all right, Rena, you know, my queen, I got you. But I have this, so what can I do to bring here, to be here? You be aboard, you like this, because she does real estate too. So when she needs me to get the kids and stuff, you know, it's not like fighting where I gotta be in the gym. I could hold on some choreography later on. I could get the kids, spend time with her while she does this. So it's a partnership. It's more of a partnership than it just me being on my own thinking this when I have a whole family that's like, yo, dad, I need you, you know. And I communicate with them, but sometimes I show them videos, right? I get the computer and I show them. I'm like, son, what do you think? You know, I'm not dad. And my daughter, she's so intelligent with her words. She's like, it's too much animosity, dad. Home, you know, I don't want. She's only 7 too, so she's like, yeah, dad, nah. Why won't you just go through the wall? I said, I ain't going through no wall. Like, well, she said, fine. You don't want to go viral, you know?
No, because if you did, you'd go through the wall.
Exactly, you know. So I'm glad I have that. And then my fiance, she just pushes through. You know, she looks at stuff and she's like, well, you need a better camera, you need a 4K, you need a 6K.
I was gonna ask that too.
I learned a lot of that, you know.
And
I was like,
4K, because it's a list of what you need in order to make your videos pop,
right?
Yeah, you can't be like the others and just making the content and you don't know what people are looking for. So that I'm glad she said that. And sound is big too,
yeah. So
sound is big.
We be like all night, we read books together, you know, real estate, because I'm thinking about getting my real estate license too, so I could join her, you know, so we could do it together.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Y'all are a true team.
Yeah, man.
Like to hear that, especially being so young. And were you about to say something? Boy?
Yeah, but go ahead, because I got a networking plug for him.
Okay. Now I was just going to say, so when you first started with the communicating and bringing everyone together, because it's still more of what Anthony is doing, but you got everyone to incorporate and kind of buy in. Was there pushback early on?
Yeah, it was, because I didn't know how to really work as a team, because I was so
doing it solo.
Yeah, you know. And I've been through a lot of different bad relationships and everything, and it impacted a lot with me, you know. So I had to heal that side to be able to listen to what she had to say. You know, my ego was so high. Like, I was messing up. I'm gonna cap. I was messing up the first time, you know, because we were supposed to get married. I kind of, you know, went through some bad situation where me and her was just arguing, you know, and we wasn't gonna make it, because not because of her, it was because of me. My ego needed to be in check. So I beat my own ass. Excuse my language, but you know what I'm saying?
You can say whatever,
like, you know, because it was like, I have a great woman here. You know, she's strong. She goes, you know, and like outside of her, you know, just communicating with people. And I was just like, man, it's real out here. Yeah. You know, nobody wants to really like care for that, you know? And so I was like, okay, love. So me and her talked and she was like, well, you can do this and this. I said, I can do this. And now anytime she says something to me, I don't take it offensive. I look at it. I say, you know what, babe? Thank you.
Yeah.
Anytime. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't really get off like, nah, you don't know what you're talking about.
Because she has your best interest.
Yeah, so.
You all, like you said, you are a team. So
And that's like the best thing, you know? So when we're in unit, I don't really, like, I'm excited to see her. I come home happy. I'll be like, yo, babe, what time you want me
home?
That
is beautiful.
You know, I let it go, man. I let all that go. Some people call me a simp, but, you know, I'm like, I'll be a simp just to be happy. Just to be happy? Oh, yeah.
That's not a sale.
But see,
that's,
I'm happy though. I'm happy. Yeah. So I tell people, like, hey, man, it's like, I love my woman. I love my family. At the end of the day, this is my legacy and this is what I do. This ain't your legacy. This is mine.
Exactly.
So,
and not only that, man, I can't say how much I love the fact that you speak into like the self discovery. Like you said, you looked at you. You were like, okay, what can I do to improve? Not just for the relationship, but for me as a person.
Yeah.
In real, because I know you want to get into the networking, but I think that's such a vital point to speak to. What got you to where you was willing to, as we always say, peel back the layers and truly look at yourself as you start making these changes in your life? And not even that, but just like, okay, that this is what I want for myself. This is how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to start with me.
Mm-hmm. Like, I had to cut off everything. Okay. Like, I remember, you know, I moved back with my Nana and I took the TV out. I had no game system. All I did was work, come home, and read books.
Yeah.
And then I started reflecting on myself, got therapy. Therapy was the best thing. Therapy was the best thing because I didn't know the problems that my childhood and everything really reflected. Because my dad, you know, he was really not there. Mm-hmm. So he went somewhere. And that's why I was like, I would never do this to my kids. You know, so I was like, well, because my boys, you know, my primos, all my cousins and them, they were like my father figures. So they helped raise me and all that stuff, you know. And then that's when I was like, okay. So I'm really bringing, it's crazy how, you know, some people you don't know, but you end up having their characteristics. Yeah. So I feel like that's like family curses that with you, yourself, you know, that is either your choice to break it or you're going to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I looked at it and I was just like, you know, because my mom been in relationships where she just left and never looked back and went away. Mm-hmm. I was doing the same thing. And I was like, man, I ain't doing this. I have a great woman. I want to get married. I want this. And this is what I'm going to do. So I fixed myself, went back to her, apologized. And I told her, if you could take me back, you know, I understand if you don't. But you're, for once, you're, I have somebody that actually, the one that got away.
Right.
But, you know, she didn't. She, you know, we still together. We strong. I never cheated or nothing or anything. It was just my ego of me trying to be like this alpha male, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And it really was when I realized the true definition of alpha male. Because alpha male, I'm thinking society thinks is really like, you know, this, you know, you don't need this. You tell this. But honestly, like if my like when Rena, my queen, when she comes home and she's tired, I'm gonna make sure the house is done.
Yeah.
No dishes, house clean, everything. Because happy wife, happy life is a real thing, you know?
Yeah.
And when she's happy and the whole house is good, the kids are taken care of, because sometimes I come home, there's a whole meal on the table. See? I'm like, thank you, you know what I'm saying? You know, this is a good thing. And then sometimes she come home, I ain't no better cook than her. But damn it, I'm going to throw some. Let me get my apron, you know, get to work, you know? And she appreciate that. Like, I might hook some chorizos up, you know, tamales, something, you know?
Yeah.
She be like, I love you. While she makes her food, I'm like, I love you.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
partnership. That, I'm mm-hmm. telling you, it's so beautiful to hear, because I think that's one of the biggest challenges for men and women to take that time and really figure out who you are. Mm-hmm. Figure out, like you said, we're all products of our childhood traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact to hear you say that you did the therapy, I think that's one of the biggest things, especially, you know, for people of color, we tend to push back against therapy. We seem to think I can do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And no, like sometimes
my mama told
you
me
can't.
Her therapist was Jesus. I'm not going to.
I know. But that's what we tend to do sometimes. We want to rely on scriptures and things of that nature when you need some more.
Yeah.
And the fact that you, just the fact that you had a clear mind to understand that and then to go forward with that. I think, like, I'm hoping when people watch this and they see it, like, they're like, wow, you know, because like you said, you're an alpha male, meaning, and not only that, you know, you're a fighter. You all these things that so many men want to be and don't understand all of the trials and tribulations that goes along with that.
Right.
So
you
telling that story, I think is big.
I think appreciate it's profound. And then I like the way you guys are on the same team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like you're making touchdowns with each other.
Yeah.
You know, you're passing the ball and then she passes it back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but when a household is divided, you could tell because you're not playing on the same team.
Yes.
You know, you making your touchdowns and I'm making my touchdowns.
It's
and,
Yeah.
So that's good that you brung it back together.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, from my perspective, I feel like it does take the man's leadership to bring it back together.
Yeah. And that's what he did. Yeah.
So that's good when you were saying that you took the time to reflect on you and then know what you actually wanted. And then you went after it. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I try to really splurge my family as much as I can. You know, like I take care of myself last, but I take care of, you know, a little bit of myself where it's like, okay, I'm set. Let me see what I got to do. I put money aside for my kids, money for the my wife, and I got money for me. So all of that, if the kids need clothes, I got them. Buy one, you got to buy the other, because you already know how that goes.
Yep.
Now, my, you know, now for my fiance, she when she's like she needs her hair, nails and hairs done, she ain't got to tell me. You know, if I see her nail like breaking,
yeah.
Once a woman says something about something, you better get it. You know what I'm saying? If you say, hey, my nail is breaking, you know, yeah. I'm over it. So I'm like, don't worry, babe, I got you. So yeah. I give her the money, boom, or I give her my card and boom, just go handle it. She's happy. I'm saying when she's happy. Their day is soon. We do manifestations together.
Man,
we do like all of that. Yeah, because she's really into that, and she brought me into that too.
Yeah.
And for me, like, because I'm going to take her to California to see my other family. Like, she's going to see my Mexican, my Panamanian, you know, brother, you know, all of that together where it's like, I'm going to show her because I went to Savannah and met her family.
Okay.
And they were so welcoming. I want to do the same thing with her.
Good. I'm going to ask you, how was that?
I wanted to, because you said manifest. And mm-hmm. so, have you guys tried to manifest together in your most intimate moments?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Every time. That's
okay.
when
cool.
that's
I love that.
Because as soon as I was manifesting, like, man, I need to do something that's gonna be able I could still use fighting. I don't feel like I wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was looking to talk to Sequence.
Okay.
Then I manifest again, man. I need somebody that can out the doors that can push me. That's when Fatima came. Then I manifested again, like, you know, I need something that's gonna build and make me happy.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's when the fight choreography, she gave me the ideas.
Sick,
reading in the books, and then she came in, you know, she manifesting all stuff. Like, yeah, we need someone to make money, like a job. Like, I leave job early, I go Lyft. The next thing you know, I probably make a great amount of money on Lyft mm-hmm. in one day. And I'm just like, okay, you know, let me take my family out now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like those manifesting moments, you know, when you're just around your loved ones. It's like, I understand people have, you know, relationships and marriage and stuff, but it's different when you know that you and your person is like a twin flame, you know, their love language and everything, you know, all of that, you know, like you, and you ignore the soul ties, you know, everybody's gonna have soul ties,
everybody's
gonna do that.
Yeah.
You can't bring that into a relationship because when you're in that relation, that commitment, that's the thing, it's a commitment.
Uh-huh.
And you already know, like, if I tell her, like, babe, I'm gonna go to the candy store or whatever and I get just anything. Anything I'm about to spend, I'm going to communicate with her because this is our account. But if I spend something on my account, it's not going to be, you know what I'm saying? Because I really kind of save on my account because, you know, I'm the backup. She has a flat tire, boom, I got it, you know? Because she's so worried about real estate. Real estate is up and it's down.
Yeah.
So I already know her situation. I know she gets frustrated, but I was like, I got you. Don't worry about it. So that's how I know, because at first when I was fighting, I didn't really care about all of that.
Yeah.
So I was taking it for granted.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I was taking it for granted.
Yeah.
And now I'm not, you know, I'm appreciating it. And the doors are opening, man. Like, my life is really happy with my wife.
Like, your presence. Your presence, your energy when you walk in, all of that is positive, which is good.
Very
but you can see, even listening to you tell your story, your maturation process, like how from at a young age. And to me, I think it's normal. Like all of that. I think the biggest difference that you're pointing out is the fact that you actually identified things and you wanted to improve. You didn't ignore it. You actually said, I want to be better than this. You know, whatever that means for Anthony, but you did all of that and then you put the work in, which makes me think, like, you would be an awesome mentor. I'm not sure if you're already looking into
this. It is.
Thank
you.
Your story to tell and these young kids
you're
coming
right.
up.
Can you go back to Lindley and help out? Like,
I talked to some people and I didn't know a lot of people was looking at me, looking up to me that I thought, you know, because I was so into my own world and I had to get out, man, because I wanted love. I wanted this. So everybody I dated before, the woman that I was with now was always using me, abusing me, all types of stuff. But I was wanting love, so that's all I wanted because I see my mom go through it and my dad was around, but I wanted a family of my own. So the next thing you know, it was like I was like, man, I can't find no one on my level. But the thing about it, God sent her when I was on my worst. Like when I was worst. And I don't think God sends people their talent or their gifts in your greatest moments. You're gonna be at the worst to see if you can handle it. So he's testing you, see, hey, boom, you're ready now. But are you though? That's the question. So I was like, nah, I'm not ready. Dang, but now I see it. I know what I gotta work on to keep it, you know, because like having somebody that you know all your weakness, all that thing, and you can bond with that person to a whole new level that is hard for anybody
to
tell.
You can be totally yourself.
Exactly.
You
That's why I love listening to relationships, you know, other relationships getting advice, but sometimes like I look at other relationship lives, take the key things, you know, and then take it in mind because relationships are all different. You know, everybody has different levels of problems. And I noticed that because when you have money, you deal with certain type of problems. When you have here, you have different type of problems.
Exactly.
And there's more to it than just cheating. Mm-hmm. Communication, you know what I'm saying? You know, not even just being there. You're putting other things in front of your family. Like, there's so much levels that go to it. Mm-hmm. When I was just like, man, like, okay. And don't even get upset, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like, you know, when you have a strong alpha woman, she's going to open her mouth and tell you some things that she's not going to like. Mm-hmm. As men, we got to listen, because women tell us, we just don't listen. Our ego's getting checked. It's like, if she said, hey, I don't like the glass on the table, if I'm going to keep doing it, then that means I'm not listening to her. I'm not caring what she's saying. But I guarantee she tells me the first time, it's not going to be there again, because now she's happy. But I'm going to tell her what I don't like, too.
Yeah.
And she has to do the same thing.
She's a Sagittarius, and we are very blind.
Yeah, see, you know. I love it. Because when a Sagittarius loves you hard, man, they ride for you.
Yeah.
But you got to earn it.
Yeah.
You got to earn it.
Yeah. The flame will go out along the way, but when the flame is ignited, it's there.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's there. And especially if you know the core of the person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. If you can sense and connect with the core of the person, it's like, I know he has this in him. Mm-hmm. And we'll stay around for a very long time.
I'm telling you. That's why I love Marina. She's so cool. And I noticed anything, she don't play about me either. Like, she feels like somebody's getting the best of me, we'll go look through it. Then she's stepping on Max. Yeah. She's like, like Martin did with Gina. Excuse me, babe. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute, I should be doing this. She's like, no.
The mama bear. I call her the mama bear.
Mama bear,
the mama bear comes out.
Yeah, that's the thing. You both got each other.
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
She cares about you just as much as you care about her.
As
well as you make it known, she makes it known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing better than that type of support, you know, by whoever you're with, and they standing there, you're like, oh, because especially as men, we're so used to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when someone steps in, it'd be like, oh, you're like, oh, like, it's that feeling where you're like, oh, this person cares. It's like
really
having, for me being young, my big brother would step in at times.
Yeah, and it's just make you feel,
you know, it's nothing like that. But I know you wanted to get into the networking.
Yeah, we got to wrap up.
Because Anthony was, his story is amazing.
I like it.
And everything.
Thank you.
And I love the fact it's just not being an MMA fighter. Like, you got so much more. Like, you definitely got to come back on the show so we can do more. But let me let you get into it.
Yeah, so I met this couple. They're into real estate. They're actually on HGTV. They have a show. And they're in Elon.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And so when you mentioned that, and they're so nice and sweet. they're doing a development and it's in the country in Virginia, and I can't remember. I want to say Danville, Virginia, but it might be another part of Virginia. But they're doing a development there.
Mm.
And so I definitely would love to connect them with your wife. And then if you're looking, because I don't think the husband is a real estate, it has his real estate license, but he goes and looks for property. He don't need
for
to have, because he don't need the real estate license, because they're doing like flipping and, you know, redevelopment. So he does another end of the business, but it's really a cool dynamic.
Yes.
And if I will get the link to send to you their show that's on HGTV.
I love it.
Y'all can reach out to them. I will reach out to her and let them know that I'm connecting you to
her.
Yes,
please.
It's a good dynamic.
Yeah. I take all the connections I can. And that's the thing. I'm open too, man. I learned not to be closed-minded. You got to be open to everything, connect with people and stuff. Because I like meeting new people and communicating stuff. Like, you know, like they was doing extras, right? And I did extras. I got along with everybody.
When I was
shadow boxing going crazy, they had me do a SWAT. They had me be a dang bad guy. They had me do, you know, a boxer. Then they had me do an MMA fighter. They had me win the fight. I was like, man, let me just be the star. Like,
coming. You gotta pay your dues in the acting world.
I got you. Yes.
So I'm one, and Tiffany knows, Kurt knows it as well. I love quotes, and to me, everything you're talking about is to me describing the quote. And it's a quote I've said more than once on the show, but it, Abraham Lincoln says, I will prepare, and one day my chance will come. And I'm paraphrasing. So for anybody who's trying to look it up, I'm paraphrasing.
Calm down.
But everything that you've been doing within your life has been that preparation.
Yeah.
And now these doors are opening up and you're able to just step right in. Because you already have the background with all the different types of fighting skills, you know.
Yeah.
You have the background of understanding the contracts, understanding the ins and outs, all of these things. And like you said, having an open mind, which to me shows that ability of you to really look into you as you was making improvements to yourself. Like that takes an open mind to look at yourself.
Really does.
And do that self-reflection.
At a young age.
Yes.
You, I'm telling you.
You're still very young.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you look like you 24, 25.
Yeah. So when he's like that 12 years old.
Yeah, that's why I said like, oh man, you've been like, cause you look extremely young.
Thank you.
That is a good thing. And with all of that, you know, like, definitely applaud you.
Thank you.
Where you continue, like, I would love to, you know, stand in contact and you seeing
as you continue
to progress.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thank you. I'm just enjoying the process. You know, I'm not worried about trying to be, you know, on the rich list. I feel like my thing is just sending a message to the world before I go, you know, and leaving something for my children, you know, because, you know, everybody wants to be famous so much.
Right.
But it's like, that's cool and all, but what are you gonna do when you get it? Like, you know, like, how are you gonna handle it? You know, for me to be older, I can really handle stuff before I can handle things back in when I was young, being a cocky fighter and all this other thing, you know. But now I'm more humble. Yeah. Like, I talk to people, you know, teach them the right things. They'll kick this
way,
you know, even like little kids and stuff come. Mm-hmm. I'm shadow boxing with them, you know, spar just like with my son.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, when they see me do all these cool things, you know, I tell them, man, that everything is a process. You know, I had to get my head beat up and all of that stuff, you know, egos and all that. Leave it at the door. Even with the acting things too, I'm like a nerd with it. I'm watching, looking at different cameras, how
that's
different angles.
Yeah.
I had to take like 15 shots for one.
You have to get with LM3 Production. He's a beast at the camera.
Yes.
Gosh, I got some good connects for you that I'm gonna have to send over your way.
Yes,
but, we'll get them all to you.
Yeah.
Thank
so,
you,
can you tell us your social media handles before we leave?
It is Jackson_5750. You'll see a lot of things. I changed my whole page, you know, because my fiance was like, you know, if you're not gonna do fighting and stuff right now, and you go back because you're hurt, let's change your page to make it where you got more other things than just that.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So I did it. Yes. So we did it. Put Jed on the bottom. Boom. It was boom. Good. And with her, she was like, I want to promote my page. And I was like, well, babe, that's what you got to do. You know, you got to put most stuff that you sell, every house that you sold, post it, taking a picture with the customer, say this, on to the next.
Right.
And she was like, okay, but you know, I want to take good 4K pictures. You know, she's Sagittarius, so it got to be perfect. So I'm like, you know what? All right, babe, what kind of, so she has a camera where it's like, okay, this is what I want, you know, and she tell me, nah, lift it up. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So she's teaching
women
me too.
Know how to take pictures.
They really do. Like, you know, like,
they know how to take pictures.
It's a roller coaster, but I enjoy everything. I won't take nothing back, you know, because at the end of the day, like, who I want to be around with the most is my family.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's all coming back home to. Because that alone, at the end of the day, my brother and them are going to have their own family. My sister got hers. My boys are doing their thing, you know. My Nana and my mom, they're going to be just, you know, relaxing, standing by and doing their thing. But this is my family tree now. You know, it's me, my wife that's going to be my wife for real. And our two kids, more kids, because we want more, and the rest is going to go down. So because of that, that makes me think, like, I want to spend the most time I can with my kids before I go, you know, because the worst thing you go as a parent is you going and you know you didn't do everything to teach your kids before you go. So I'm like, I'm not going to just give them the things I don't have. I'm going to teach them the things I never was taught. They can flip everything and be easy because they have all the technology, you know, and everything they got to be able to make it at certain levels. But see, I don't want them to come in a game where it's like they're young and they lose themselves.
Yeah, you know? I was going to ask you, what is success to you?
I feel like success is when you've done everything. You don't have to be like millionaire or anything, but you did everything that you feel like your purpose was.
Because
eventually money's gonna come to you. And anything you do,
I always say. I love you not putting a price tag on anything or a dollar amount you're going for. Not to cut you off, but I do. I say it all the time because I don't chase money. I feel like money comes
it
based
will
off
come.
Of
it will come.
You and your performance and the way you the energy you put out into the world.
So, yeah, definitely. You know, because I thought about it and I was like, yeah, man, because once you build in like a first stage, mm-hmm. you're not going to get much. So you got to work. It's just logic, you know. And
your work ethic is good.
Appreciate it. I love to grind, man. And yeah. the thing about it is like, I used to grind so hard, I got tired. But now I'm grinding for like just the grind mm-hmm. without having to put so much pressure on me. It's mm-hmm. just clockwork now.
Well, you just, I think it's more so the grind is mm-hmm. different than living.
Facts.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because when you get wrapped up into the grind, it's really, well, for me, it was about the most money I can make or like the status you can create for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then when you learn that it's about just living and mm-hmm. a peaceful life is yes. the best riches for me. Yes. You know? It's like, yes. there's no price on my peace, mm-hmm. right? So if somebody offered me $10 million and said, mm-hmm. hey, you get $10 million, but you can't wake up the next morning, mm-hmm. I'm not going to take the $10 million. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I'm already abundantly like prosperous because facts. I'm turning down $10 million so I can wake up the next morning. Mm-hmm. So to once be, you, yeah.
To be true to you, which to be true to I love you being yeah. true to yourself. Yeah. And to me, the fact that your kids are experiencing it's everything awesome. That you've gone through now is trickling down to them.
And mm-hmm.
you're
mm-hmm.
teaching them. Right. I mean, that's man, that's a beautiful thing.
Because mm-hmm. I'm telling you, mm-hmm. a father thing. Is important in those yeah. kids' lives, man. Regardless if they're like, you know, families are not together, but just being there in your kid's life is very, very important. Even yeah. for a daughter to a father or a son to a mother or a father to mm-hmm. a son, mother to mother, you know, you bring what you can. To them, like, you know, like when my fiance is yelling, you know, at my daughter, I'm like, stop yelling at her. What are you doing? Come here, princess, you know. But I'm going hard on my son. She's like, don't yell at him, you know. So it's the like that, you know. Yeah, so I'm like, you definitely. Know, because we have secret handshakes, you know, like when I kill some, me, my son, daughter, and my fiance, we got I got handshakes with each one of them. Yeah. We clear it, clap, clap, toot, toot, get the money, let's go. Yeah. My son and daughter, they both do something, like they both won a basketball game, clap, clap, salute, get to work, see? Like,
yeah.
It's fun, man. It's like you gotta like leave all the other. Don't live other people's lives.
Right.
That's not your lives. Who? Yeah. I'm not gonna live a Jay-Z life. That's Jay-Z. Yeah. I'm gonna live Anthony Jackson's life. Anthony. And eventually, if I meet him, I don't care. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I understand like not everybody's supposed to be famous or anything. Shoot, I'll be happy if I like just. You know, if I don't really make it the big time, right? But at least I did everything that a lot of people notice for. Mm-hmm. And my son and my daughter is straight with their kids and they go.
Yeah.
And it's like me and my fiance, we do a real estate together. That's mm-hmm. it's all. We're wealthy now. Like, boom, we got it. But I don't have to really, like, put pressure on myself. Oh, I got to make it. I got to be successful. I got to be famous. I got to be this.
That famous. Yeah. A lot of people want to. I was telling my 11-year-old, I was like, once you was born, you was famous.
Exactly.
I was like, it's only you on the planet.
Exactly.
I was like, so don't let other people, you know, dictate your fame when you was born mm-hmm. into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, notoriety is totally different. The things you're doing on this planet, you know, mm-hmm. it gets you noticed, you know, mm-hmm. so you want to make sure you're doing things and have integrity and morals while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. But don't worry about the fame.
Yes.
Because you already got that once you got here.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything is a choice what you do. And like, you know, I love having the type of different people from anime fighting or just normal, you know, just having people watch it. It's good for me, you know, because I'm actually doing something. But if I'm on a scheme with Idris Elba, I'm gonna call my fiance like, hey, like we made it. I don't care if I'm a background, I'm getting tossed through the wall. I made it.
You know your notoriety.
Exactly.
It's going to go to another level for you to get whatever your message or whatever you say your purpose is across. Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. So and that's a different platform.
And another thing was big with me is insecurity too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because she likes, you know, certain stars. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be insecure on the stars.
Right.
We all love some certain stars.
Because mm-hmm.
she likes Idris Elba.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm with Idris Elba, I'm going to tease her. Ha! Like, I'm here. You're not here.
Exactly.
Guess what?
That
hey, Idris. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yep.
Exactly. Like, look the wrong
way. Like, Idris, come here. Hey, bloody hell. Like, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, yeah. I'm like, yo.
And that's fine.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I'm hanging up. Bye. Boop. Like, you go in the row. So those are the things that, you know,
looking
when you
look forward to that.
Yes, with your significant other.
Yeah.
When you do ghosts, because she can do it back with me too. She's like, oh man, I'm with Keanu Reeves for John Wick. And you know, he needs somebody in his role, but I don't think I should say you. Like, because she's petty. You know, Sagittarius, y'all you know how to
isn't
get.
Isn't that so fun when you just be so petty? I love being petty. But Thank you so much, Anthony, for pleasure. Coming.
Thank you for having
being
me.
Being a part of Broad Bell Speaks.
Yes.
We're going to go ahead and wrap it up, and you're going to give our social media.
I give it before we step into...
I am.
Yeah. So, as always, you can find us on Spotify, YouTube, Apple, every other media outlet you can find us on, which is Broad Bell Speaks, as well as TikTok. Our email, if you have comments, suggestions, or if you just want to give some feedback, you can get us at broadbellspeak03@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And before we wrap it up, we do have a segment, and it's called I Am. And all that is you say I am and then describe what you're feeling in this moment. So I'm going to let Broadbell start off because I have not thought about it.
I hadn't thought about it either, but yes. I would say I am loving every moment of my life.
Okay.
The ups, the downs, it doesn't matter. I appreciate it all. That's why I love hearing you talk, Anthony, because it's where it's who has it, all of those ups and downs has brought me to who I am right now. Tomorrow might be something different, but right now, all of those things have established the man you see before you. So, yes.
And I am amazed of the woman I am right now.
You're amazed.
I'm amazed.
Is anybody outside of you amazed?
No, I don't care. Earlier today, I was just, you know, looking back on my journey.
Yeah.
And it's some things that I have accomplished and I haven't taken the time out to kind of sit in it. And so I am really, truly amazed of who I am today. And I'm excited about who I'm going to become in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And real quick, I do want to say, I like that. Before you step into yours, Anthony, do you look, and I know we was wrapping up, but do you look at all the things you've accomplished, or are you always just looking ahead?
What's the next?
Both, actually.
Good. You know, okay.
Yeah.
Always keep the what you have accomplished.
Because those things you've accomplished, those are, you know, points within your life that need to be appreciated. And
absolutely.
I always feel like, I used to be a trainer, and one of the things, a trainer in healthcare, and one of the things I would always tell my classes is appreciate what you've done to get to this point. You know, so sometimes we get so caught up in the next thing I need to do that we forget, shit, look where I've made it to. Like you going from Cali to here, to going from amateur to professional, to all of these things, and then now doing choreography and all these different things, and now the acting, like your relationship, like all of those, like
thank you so much.
You're killing it.
Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're not saying, like, I'm gonna say it, like, just hearing you talk about it, I'm just over here, like, in awe, like, man,
congratulations.
Especially with your age, like, you really stepping into it. That's why I say you would be amazing.
Gracias. Thank you. Thank you.
But go ahead.
Go ahead. Are you doing I am or
you know what? Yeah, before you do, Kurt's going to do an I am.
I was going to ask him. I was asking. I was like, he's chilling.
Because he got away with not doing one last week. Yeah. And I thought about it after the show.
He turned off his mic. Yeah. I love it.
Just testing. It's working. I usually I make a joke of these.
You do,
which is always hilarious.
But I don't make a joke because I don't think they're valuable. I sit back here and I push buttons. I'm a button monkey. I'm happy to be the button
monkey.
It's
more than that, but yeah.
But listening to this, especially as Broadbell just said, with your age, you know, it took me a lot longer than where you're at to figure out, check my ego and all that sort of thing. And I will say that I am learning every day. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I don't always succeed. I fail quite often.
We all do.
And the ego is still there. It's hanging in the back. Yeah. But I'm doing the best I can. So.
Yes.
Thank you, Kurt.
Yes, thank you.
Kurt,
thank
some you. Good words of wisdom.
I like that.
We learn it every day.
Yes, we are.
So now, your turn.
I said I am blessed. I am strong. I am, you know, happy. I am continuing to turn my dreams into reality. Yes. I am motivated, you know, motivate people around me. I know how it feels to, you know, go without, you know, I know how it feels to be homeless. I know how it feels to be nut, like to feel like you're nothing, but you know, I am strong. I'm always going to be an alpha in my mind and heart, not alpha to be like, you know, thinking I'm everything, but alpha that I'm like, you know, I worked hard to be here and I have the people around me, and I won't be here without the people around me supporting me. So I am blessed. I am strong, and I am grateful for everything, meeting you guys and having me on. I'm grateful and thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. Definitely thank you for being here. I know we were scheduled a few times, so I'm so happy that you were able to make it.
Oh, I was relaxing, man. Like, whenever, you know, like I'm
thank
open.
Thank you for coming. Yes. And I am grateful to have another episode of Broad Belt Speaks. Till next time.
Peace. All right. So, what we want to do, you got your phone. We're going to get you to sign.
Oh, wow.